friends, and welcome back to your new delicious, juicy and weekly What Page Are You On? It me, as ever, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
How are you, my good friend?
I am doing great, thank you. I'm having a really good week. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, my friend. I'm really enjoying this weekly vibe.
Me too, especially as I just feel like I'm spending a lot of time with you because we record and then I transcribe and then you edit and then we do the social media stuff. And yeah, I just feel like I'm really upping the ante every hours spent with Bert in my week.
Recommitting to the Bethany Rutter lifestyle.
Exactly. What a lucky pal.
I am so lucky too. What have you read this week? Have you read anything? Of course you have.
Okay. Well, I have, but I'm not having best reading week. I'm having a much slower reading week this week than I did last week. But I'm halfway through a book called Scabby Queen by Kirsten Innes, which I'm really enjoying. So I'm not going to say anything about it now. And, you know, I'll check in when I finished it. But that one I'm reading on my Kindle. So I'm also reading a physical book.
You're double fisting, are you?
I am double fisting. I love to double fist with different media, different forms. So in my bedtime hours, I usually go digital. And then in the daylight hours, I like a physical book. And I've got The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett on the go, which is one that I promised last week I would start reading.
And you were true to your word.
True to my word, I was.
Good for you.
So anyway, I won't go into them. What are you reading?
Basically, earlier this year, or maybe late last year, a very popular collection of essays by a New Yorker journalist was released. I did not care for it. I did not care for Trick Mirror by Gia Tolentino. Good news, there has been another book of essays released by a different New Yorker lady journalist, and I read it this week and I loved it. It is by Lauren Michelle Jackson, who internet users, she's not like the most incredibly online person, so she's not as like well-known by name, but she wrote the very popular and very useful digital blackface article that is in Teen Vogue and is, yes. A very useful and interesting article. So if you've never read it, I would recommend that. But she wrote this amazing collection of essays called White Negroes, and it's about kind of cultural appropriation. And it's so good. It's so interesting. It's so thought-provoking. I just, completely loved it. It covers like music and art, just loads of, different pop culture stuff. She has a really amazing style. She's really, it's very legible, but it makes you think. White Negroes by Lauren Michelle Jackson was Bert's book of the week. And I, strongly, strongly recommend it. Unfortunately, it does seem that the only place you can get it in this cursed country is on Amazon. I tried via my local independent bookshop and said, hello, my friends, can you get this for me? And they said, unfortunately not, but you do seem to be able to get it on Amazon. So with that blessing, I did buy it from amazon.co.uk. So that's just a little note that sometimes on balance, when it's a excellent book by a cool black lady author, which is published by a kind of independent press, that sometimes it is worth the trade-off to just buy the book by any means necessary.
I completely agree. Also, top tip, Blackwells are quite good at getting American books in.
Interesting, because I looked on Waterstones and no dice, but
Waterstones are not great unless they're available through, there's a particular distributor whose name escapes me now, which maybe just be the same one that Blackwells use, but I feel like Blackwells actually put the American editions on their website.
Interesting.
Waterstones doesn't.
So worth a look there, but if not, I would just recommend this book, which I thought was great.
I'm going to see if I can hunt it down. I fancy it.
You should fancy it. It's sexy. So you had a juicy little idea for an ep.
So maybe this is also why I've been like reading a bit more chill, because I had this idea for an episode that I thought might take up a bit more of our chat time. As you know, things are getting more seasonal. I've placed my annual order of Christmas candles. So I thought we would do a What Page Pod gift guide. So rather than picking out like particular archetypal characters, like family members, colleagues, that kind of thing, I've just come up with like, I don't even know how many there are, 10 or so categories of different kind of genres. We've each picked a book. Sometimes we've picked I think we've almost all picked different titles for each category, but some books appear in multiple categories.
Yes.
And yeah, we just thought this would be a fun way to like suggest what we would be buying if we were buying books for people for Christmas, which I'm sure you are. I certainly am. This is what we would suggest.
The categories are very interesting, and it was very fun for me to think of my answers. So I look forward to discussing this with you, and I hope that our friends at home find something that they like the sound of.
All right, I'll let you begin. The first category is a juicy thriller.
So only yesterday I did a tweet, which is never a good idea, especially when it's a tweet asking for recommendations. All I want in my life is a juicy thriller that will thrill and delight me and shock me the way that either Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn did, or The Snowman by Jur Nesbø, which is the juicy thriller that I'm advocating for in this conversation. I loved it. I listened to it on audiobook, loved it. Just, yeah, film is hands down one of the worst films I've ever seen in my whole life, so don't think you can get away with watching the film. But yeah, that's my choice.
Give us a little like nutshell description of what it's about.
It's too much. There's too much plot. It's got
too much.
Of any thriller I've ever read, it has the most plot, which in a way sounds kind of bad and intimidating, but actually makes it incredibly satisfying to read. Yeah, just kind of gnarly serial killer doing gnarly serial killing in Norway. So perfect. I loved it. It's kind of, yeah, what I'm looking for from a thriller in terms of plot and character and weird motives and weird deaths and weird contraptions that he kills people with. That's my one.
Okay.
How about you?
Okay. I've gone with something that came out this year. I've gone with a book called Nothing Can Hurt You by Nicola May Goldberg.
Oh, I want to read that so bad.
It's so good. So I listened to this on audio. I'm already excited to reread it in with my eyeballs. So this is a literary thriller. It's about the murder of a college student. And each chapter is told from the perspective of someone who was affected by her death. So from her sister to a junior reporter who is kind of trying to crack the case to the woman who discovered the body. And it's just a really kind of nuanced approach to the pretty dead girl trope. And I absolutely loved it. So yeah, I feel like it's one that for thriller fans, it's definitely has both a good, really, really good plot, but also it's just an interesting, fresh take on something which has otherwise been, pardon the pun, done to death.
Now that I know that it's on audio, I hadn't even thought of listening to it on audio, but...
No, because we had this conversation. The problem with it on audio is it's really short.
Oh yeah,
You like to get good bang for your buck.
I'm nothing if like not a cheapskate.
Exactly. And it's like a 5-hour listen. So I don't think it would suit you.
You know what? I've got contacts. I can beg for an Audible credit from someone. I know people.
Okay, so the next category is make you think non-fic.
So I chose Revolting Prostitutes by our good friends Molly Smith and Juno Mack. And if you have not listened to the episode from, I guess, a couple of years ago now, where I spoke to them upon the launch of this book, I would recommend you listen to that if you want to get a sense of what the book is about and what it's trying to do. But it's basically about the fight for sex workers' rights, especially through a kind of workers' rights and kind of borders and immigration and policing lens. And it's just wonderful. And I know they worked incredibly hard on it. It's incredibly well researched. It's very well argued. And I just think it's a book that everyone should read, whether they think they should or not, whether you're on board with the cause or whether you have questions about it. Yeah, I love Revolting Prostitutes.
And I think it makes a good gift because it doesn't really matter what your position is. The whole point of it is that it's super informative.
Agree.
So anyone who's like interested in particularly left-leaning politics, but anyone who's interested in feminism, anyone who's interested in the politics of sex work or the poverty, class and oppression, it's like a good all-rounder.
I agree. What would you choose?
Okay, so I've suggested something that's very current. I've gone with Me and White Supremacy by Leila F. Saad. This one is an anti-racism workbook. So it's perfect for readers who want to learn more about what anti-racism is and what they can do to tackle their own unconscious biases and like behaviors. So it's not a passive reading experience at all. Like each chapter ends with a list of questions to encourage you to sort of interrogate yourself and your experiences. But it's perfect for anyone who wants something that will make them really think and will help them engage with Black Lives Matter and racism globally. But this, I mean, this book is an American title, but it's not necessarily geared up to an American readership. It's been a bestseller in the UK as well. And yeah, it's a good one just for someone who wants to kind of go a little deeper into the anti-racism work that they may have been doing over the summer.
Cool. A good choice, next. I feel.
Thank you, friend.
So the next category you came up with was Stone Cold Banger, which you kind of remind me of the wording you use to designate what this means to you.
So this one to me, Stone Cold Banger, was just like a perennial classic. So something that would appeal to any reader that's essentially just absolute beginning to end, gripping, banging story.
Yes. So that is why I chose Perfume by Patrick Susskind, which I read in my youth, have only fond memories of, and then reread this summer when I was sort of in a bit of a reading slump. And yeah, it absolutely holds up. It is just as twisted, delightful, gripping, intense as I remember. I just love this book. I'm so happy that I revisited it. I feel like it's a book that a lot of people that I know who share our tastes would love and may not have already read. So that is my recommendación. How about you?
Definitely. So I really struggled with this one, even though I came up with the fucking title. I really struggled with it because I wanted to try and find something that I felt like I haven't talked about 1,000 times on the pod before.
Yes.
But then in the end, I was like, but you know what? The whole point of this category is it's something that it's a classic. It's a perennial classic. So I've gone with Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. I feel like the Netflix movie came out this year, which I haven't watched yet. I'll get around to it.
Will you though?
I'm not great at watching stuff.
Yeah, like, but also like no one liked it. So
I know, but it looks so spooky.
Mm. I really fancy Armie Hammer. Like I'm a stated fan of Armie Hammer, and even that hasn't been enough to convince me. No.
See, you watch everything, so that surprises me.
Yeah, I watch quite a lot. So when even I cannot be moved to watch something that has one of my celeb boyfriends in, you know, times are bad. Yeah.
But the reason why I've picked Rebecca is because I realized with the movie coming out this year, loads of people were inspired to read the book. And I was so surprised by how many people I know who are big readers had never read it before.
Interesting.
And I just think it's such a gripping read, whether or not you love it or end up kind of hating it, because the relationships in it are quite complicated. The characters have a lot of depth and nuance. They're not necessarily, it's not like a story packed full of cool, chill people. Like, it's a book full of people who are doing bad things and full of bad intentions.
Full of, yeah, for kind of reasons that are not always straightforward.
Exactly. But for me, that's, you know, that's like the perfect recipe for a good read.
I agree.
So yeah, I feel like especially if you're buying a gift for someone who you know is a reader, but maybe hasn't necessarily read the whole backlog of 20th century classics, it's a fucking great place to start.
So the next category that you invented with your brain was winter warmer, which you defined as basically a nice time where nothing gnarly happens, really. So I chose my favorite, whenever there's a kind of call to recommend a book of this genre, obviously I prefer recommending books where people get killed with Baroque implements. But yeah, whenever people want something like this, I always recommend Love, Nina by Nina Stibb, which is just delightful, funny, very interesting in terms of like the book world. So it's about a teenage girl, Nina, who goes to be a nanny for Mary Kay Wilmer's children, who at the time was the editor of the London Review of Books. And it's, yeah, just about her, kind of her letters home to her sister, about her time living in London with this family. And it is pure delight. And I would honestly just, yeah, recommend it to anyone that wants to read something where nobody gets murdered.
I've never read that.
It's, yeah, it's so good. She's such a good writer. I think she's a very cool person as well. Yeah, I'm very strongly pro Nina Stibb as an author and a person.
Maybe I'll seek it out next time I want some kind of soothing read.
Yes.
Something to delight me.
What did you choose?
Okay, so I pivoted. I originally went with Nigel Slater's The Christmas Chronicles.
No relation?
Nigel Slater, no relation, but he is my spiritual dad.
Yes.
Which I have been reading. Every year I kind of revisit it and read his kitchen diary from like November 1st to February the whatever. And he writes just so beautifully. But I decided to pivot because I think that's maybe a boring one to suggest. So I've gone with In the Kitchen, which is an essay collection.
Yes.
So I also, the other reason why I struggled with this is because my fiction tastes run so dark that everything that I thought of like, oh, that would be a good one for winter warmer, it's like, oh no, actually a really upsetting thing happens in it. But I'm just so numb to it that I've forgotten about it.
I hear you.
So anyway, this essay collection is from Daunt Books Publishing, which is the indie press that's associated with the bookshop of the same name. It includes essays on food, taste, language, memoir, the joys of finger food, dumplings, buffets. And the writers include like Daisy Johnson, friend of the pod, Rebecca May Johnson, Nina Minya-Pals, who wrote Tiny Moons, which we will go into later.
I was going to say, we may be hearing more about in the fullness of time.
Ella Risbridger and Ruby Tando, amongst many others. Anyway, I haven't even read this one yet, but I was a big fan of At the Pond, which was the essay collection about Hampstead Ladies Pond. And
yep.
This is the next one in that series. And I don't know if it's controversial to recommend something that you haven't read, but this is a gift guide. And I personally don't read every book that I buy as a gift.
Yeah. And also, you know, you've read pretty much everything else that you're recommending. So I think this is allowed.
I thought it was legit. Like,
yeah.
My dad was a big cricket fan. I would buy him books about cricket. I don't read the books beforehand. I go into Waterstones and say, one cricket, please. And
he'd
give me a nice book with a man on the cover wearing white, holding a cricket bat. And I'd give it to him and he'd be delighted. So, you know, there's different ways to approach book giving as gifts. And yeah, I feel confident with my choice.
I feel confident with your choice.
If it turns out to be harrowing and every single essay is awfully upsetting, rather. I don't think they'll be awful. Then forgive me.
I hope they do.
Oh no, imagine.
So the next category was stocking filler / Secret Santa. So this was like a little book, just a small little something, a little hint of a book. And I chose The Missing Girl by Shirley Jackson, which was one of the, you know, the little mint-coloured penguin classic short books, the little mini books. Do they have a name, Alice? Do you know what they're called?
I can't remember. I think they're just called penguin minis.
Yeah, mini penguin.
They're like a pound.
Yeah, the £1 books.
Yeah.
So I loved the Shirley Jackson one. I think it's got a few stories in that are just great and would be happy to receive that or give that to someone that was into dark lady stories the way that we are. How about you?
Cute. So I went with Tiny Moons, the aforementioned book by Nina Minya-Pals. So this is a mini, it's a very dinky little essay collection about food, but it's also kind of a travel diary / memoir. And it's full of reflections about the author's childhood, family, memory, eating and cooking. And it's all written over the course of a year in Shanghai, where the author is there studying and she's just kind of connecting and reconnecting with her Chinese Malay heritage through food. So there's loads of delicious descriptions of like noodles and dumplings and then lots of kind of context about where these dishes come from and what her memories of them are. And yeah, I just love it. And everyone has loved this book this year. It's been such like a kind of Twitter banger.
Yeah, I love that, and I've chosen that for a future category. Loved it, delightful book, and it, you know, feels nice to be supporting an indie press. But yeah, no spoilers for the future category that we will come to in the fullness of time. So your next category that you dreamed up was a delicious cookbook. I chose Carbs by Laura Goodman. Obviously, I could have chosen any of the Roasting Tin books, use them all the time, but I feel like we talk about those quite a lot. We are on the record as being Roasting Tin fans, tin lads, if you will. So I thought I would go down a different route. I love Laura Goodman. She is a complete delight. I think she's a really sweet and good person. I love following her on Instagram. Good egg. and I got her book Carbs this summer, and it's just really joyful. It's a very celebratory book of a reviled food group. And yeah, I just think she writes really nicely. She has good taste and I enjoy these recipes. How about you?
So I also went through the same process with the Roasting Tin cookbooks. I was going to have Round the World because that came out this year. And then I went through the same thought process that you did. And I was like, you know what? We talk about those books a lot. They're an amazing choice for any kind of cook, but I'm going to go with something different for the gift guide. And I've picked The Little Library Christmas by Kate Young.
Delight. Another good egg. Look at us shouting out some good eggs.
Such a good egg. So Kate is a chef, the catering company that she owns with...
Livy Potts.
I had the name Poots stuck in my head there because that's the Twitter handle. Yeah. I was like, don't call her Poots. Livy Potts. And they catered my wedding.
And it was
amazing.
So good. It was so delicious.
So great.
I ate so many deviled eggs. That they made.
They did us a New Orleans style feast and it was just incredible. So this book is the third in Kate's series. They're all cookbooks inspired by books, by literature. So this one is perfect for cookbook collectors, but also book lovers and anyone who loves Christmas. It's a little bit smaller than your average cookbook. It's affordable. It's about 15 quid. And it's got loads, it just packs really big seasonal punch. It's got loads of recipes that are inspired by Christmassy moments in literature, from Little Women to Bridget Jones's Diary. The photography is really beautiful and warm and cozy, and the recipes are great. And it's everything from stuff you could make as gifts to a guide to the perfect Christmas dinner and like seasonal nibbles and drinks. And I love it and I can't wait to start cooking from it.
Maybe I'm going to get this because I'm going to be at least partially responsible for Christmas catering this year for the first time in my life. So maybe this will be a nice little ally for me in my quest to make delicious food. Thank you. This is a good rec.
It's got like sides and it's got desserts and everything. Yeah, and it's got good vegetarian representation as well.
This sounds delightful. So your next category was... page-turning fic. I don't know, how would you describe this category?
So I was thinking for this one, it would be something a little bit more commercial,
yes,
maybe a little bit more accessible. So the perfect book for someone who loves to read, but maybe only reads a book a month, you know? Like,
yeah,
every single book they pick up has to be a banger and something they can really tear through.
And interestingly,
we picked the same book.
Yes, exactly. This is the only category where we chose the same book for the same category. And we did not compare notes before presenting each other with our lists. So the book that we both chose was Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid. Please nutshell it.
So this is a really juicy page turner that I would compare to something like Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng.
Yes.
It opens with a young black woman who has been accused of kidnapping the white toddler that she's actually been hired to babysit. This incident happens in a grocery store and it's recorded by a bystander, and that video ends up triggering the events that follow.
Yes.
It's so good. It's really gripping. The kind of book that you tear through, look forward to picking up again when you put it down. And like perfect for people after page turners.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know what I mean? Loved it. Loved it.
And also, surprisingly or excitingly, it was longlisted for the Booker, wasn't it?
It was.
Which normally I wouldn't associate this kind of like commercial fiction with the Booker Prize, but God love her. It was that good.
I loved it. I loved it. And I would honestly, yeah, recommend it to anyone listening to the pod who has not already read it. So your next category was Banging YA. And I chose one of my favorite books that I've read this year, which is my favorite YA novel of all time, which is Pet by Akweke Emezi. It is quite a weird book and very hard to explain, as much of Akweke Emezi's writing is, but it's kind of set in a alternate world. Like it's not, I don't know. Yeah. I can't even explain it, but it's semi-fantasy, mostly reality, social justice issue flavored, but just a really exciting, gripping book that is not like anything I've ever read before. So I would strongly recommend Pet by Akweke Emezi. The tagline for the book is like something like, how can you kill a monster if nobody will acknowledge it exists? And that's the vibe of the book.
I haven't read.
It's so good. I honestly just, yeah, I love it. It is, yeah, a perfect YA book. What would you recommend in this category?
So I'm going to be a big cringe bag. And I can't help it. Born to cringe. I'm choosing Melt My Heart by Bethany Rutter. So truthfully, like, I don't really read much YA these days. I used to read a lot more. I kind of finding that I read less and less now that I'm not working in a bookstore. But I read this little book from a plucky gal from South London. Melt My Heart is a really warm story of self-realization. It's about an 18-year-old and she's just trying to like enjoy her last carefree summer before uni, and then in between shifts at her best friend's family ice cream stand, she finds herself sort of navigating the choppy waters of fat phobia, a bit of low self-esteem, a steamy summer romance, and then also like the first little cognitive inkling that maybe she's not straight. And I just loved it. It's such a warm story. Obviously, I'm biased as fuck, but I don't give a shit. I think it'd be a great gift for the teenagers in your life, but also any like fans of YA, any fans of coming of age stories. Yeah, it's gorge. And also it made me crave the seaside so badly, which was especially cruel this year when I could not travel and could not go to the seaside.
So true. And it came out in like peak summer, where we were sort of still in lockdown, and lockdown had been lifted enough that like shops were open and pubs were open, but it wasn't really a kind of seaside traveling chill vibe. You're too nice to me. So the next category was irreverent read. And I didn't think too much about this category. I just instantly went for The Idiot by Elif Batuman, which I read this summer and was delighted by, completely like just loved every minute of reading that book. It is perfect.
So for irreverent read, I was thinking specifically it would be like something a little bit edgy. I chose Boy Parts by Eliza Clark. Which last time we discussed on the pod, I called Boy Clarks.
Yes, you did. You did do that.
It's the worst thing about recording yourself speaking and then going back to transcribe it, because you can't edit the words that have already left your mouth. That's it. They're out there. Anyway, so this is my favourite kind of irreverence. Boy Parts is a really gnarly book. Boy Parts is about a self-destructive photographer whose passions include explicit cinema and class A drugs, and taking photographs of average looking men that she scouts from the streets of Newcastle. And it's kind of like My Year of Rest and Relaxation meets American Psycho. I absolutely loved it. And it's another book that I feel like has been really buzzy this year from an indie press.
It has buzzed so hard. It has really been.
It's been all over. So yeah, I feel like it's a really good choice for someone who likes to read stuff that's a little bit more edgy, a bit more gritty, a bit more grubby.
Strong recommend from the lads of What Page Are You On. So the next category was Totally Translated, which obviously is translated fiction. So I chose a book from earlier this year, which obviously now seems like a different world, a pre-Rona world, if you will. But I chose The Discomfort of Evening by Marika Lucas-Reinwald, which was translated by Michelle Hutcherson and has won the International Booker Prize. So I'm not the only person that thinks this is good. So this is a Dutch book, which I probably talked about earlier in the year, but for the purposes of this pod, I will remind us about it. It's translated from Dutch, and it's about a young person called Jazz who lives on a farm with her family, and her older brother dies by drowning in a kind of ice skating accident, and just how the family really kind of unravels in their grief and isolation. And it's so good. It's weird and kind of difficult and very gripping. I love this book. Have you read it?
I still haven't read it, and I have your copy of it. So well, I have no excuse.
I think you should read it.
Maybe I will.
You don't have to read it, but it was my choice for the translated fiction.
Funny enough,
category.
I trust your taste. So maybe I'll add it to my little pile of books that I want to read before 2020 is over.
Yes. It's not like a fun read, but it's definitely a read worth reading.
That's kind of exactly how I would describe my pick for this category. Like, I've picked something that's so horrible and it's just vile, and I'm really sorry, but it's great and I think everyone should read it. I've chosen Tender is the Flesh by Augustina Maria Bastarico, which was translated by Sarah Moses. This is a speculative book that imagines a world in which animals are no longer safe to eat. So the meat-hungry population of planet Earth come up with a really great solution, which is they start farming humans to slaughter and eat instead.
Oh my God.
It is so visceral and violent and stomach-churningly gross, but it's just brilliant. It's quite a heavy-handed allegory for the meat industry, obviously, but it's also about capitalism and consumerism and our need to and consumption in general, and it's such incredible writing. I was reading it whilst eating a bowl of gumbo, which is one of my favorite dishes in the world that my husband had lovingly made for me. And I have not been able to stomach gumbo ever since. It literally put me off not just what I was eating, not just my lunch in the moment, but the dish.
This is like when you get food poisoning and you just can't eat the thing that gave you food poisoning again. Or when you have a really bad hangover and you never drink that thing again.
Exactly. Tender as the Flesh has ruined my relationship with gumbo.
That is so rude.
That was a long time ago because I bought this book. Believe it or not, I walked into a branch of Daunt's by my office and bought it and started reading it like that day. Hmm. So that would have been back in February.
So the gumbo fear has stayed with you for many months.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, it's not necessarily one that I would just, you know, you don't want to buy it and throw it into like a Secret Santa situation where it could be picked out randomly. Or maybe you would. Maybe you're that kind of person. But for the right reader, it's an absolute fucking banger.
Cool. Well, it sounds horrible. I'm in. So the next category we called A Little Life, which is kind of biographies and memoirs. I chose one of my fave books of this year, which is a delight from start to finish, The Chiffon Trenches by André Léon Talley. Completely brilliant writing, really juicy, interesting stories about people like Anna Wintour, various high-profile fashion designers. André Léon Talley, if you do not know him, is a fat black gay man who was a kind of top editor at Vogue for many, many, many years. He's just a very knowledgeable and experienced fashion journalist and editor who had incredible taste and, amazing writing. And it's just his memoir. And it's juicy, intriguing. If you are into fashion in any way, I cannot recommend it enough. It does not shy away from its subjects, Karl Lagerfeld in particular. I loved it.
I picked this category knowing that you would pick that book.
Thank you. Thank you for knowing me so well.
I picked something which I feel probably needs no introduction. But if I was going to buy a memoir for someone this year, this would be absolutely top of my list. I've chosen In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. It's not an easy read. It's about an abusive relationship. And while obviously that's often quite a difficult subject to read about, the book itself is, in my opinion anyway, an absolute masterpiece. So each chapter is articulated through a kind of different creative lens, whether that's a literary trope or a style or a genre, or there's a chapter that's based on a Star Trek episode, there's Disney villains, there's a choose your own adventure section. It's just a really, really interesting and unique way to tell a story. And I absolutely loved it.
You know I have, because we did a bloody episode about it, which I was literally opening my mouth to remind people to listen to. So earlier this year, we did an episode called Memoir in the Dream House, where we talked about Michelle T's essay collection Against Memoir, which I loved, and In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado, which I also loved, but I have very strong feelings about Against Memoir. So yeah, if you didn't listen to that at the time, I would recommend you use your thumbs to hit your podcast app and download that to listen to after this.
And also, that's a really good point. If you have someone in your life who you know loved In the Dream House, buy them Against Memoir.
Yes, I love it. So the next category was indie pick, and I chose Tiny Moons by Nina Mingyal Powles, as already expertly discussed by Alice, which is from the Emma Press, the indie press that published that. What was your indie pick, Alice Slater?
So I also, because quite a lot of our books are indie books, so any one of them could have been in this section. So I picked something which I felt was like, kind of like very specifically something that only an indie would publish. I've gone with a book called Sanatorium by Abby Palmer, which is by Penned in the Margins. The reason why I say only an indie would publish it is not to reflect on the quality of the book at all, because obviously it's incredible, but it's just such an original, interesting approach to writing. Like, it's experimental, it's cool. Penned in the Margins mostly publish poetry. And this blends memoir, experimental poetry, and fiction. It's about a young woman who spends a month taking in the waters at a thermal water-based rehab facility in Budapest. When she gets back to London, she attempts to continue this treatment with a cheap inflatable bathtub that she like puts up in her tiny bathroom. And it's about disability and the body, and it's about chronic pain and recovery. And I really loved it. I really recommend it for readers who like surprising and original work that slips between genre and form. And it also introduced me to this very cool press, which I hadn't actually read anything from before, and I'm excited to read more.
What a great recommendation.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for that recommendation. So we are drawing to the end of our categories. We have one left. We have the category of long read, which you kind of dreamed up to be something that people who would ordinarily not necessarily have the time to read a long book, the time or the inclination, that you can read at your leisure between Christmas and New Year. It will not shock regular listeners of this podcast to learn that I chose The Crimson Petal and the White by Michelle Faber, which really is probably my favourite book of all time. It is the most fun. It is so delightful. It is so juicy. It has the best characters. It is just, yeah, completely dreamy, wonderful, perfect. I think about it all the time. It is my benchmark for like historical fiction and fiction in general. And it's a kind of, it's a contemporary novel, but it is about the Victorian era. The main character is a sex worker called Sugar, and it's kind of about the impact on various people's lives when she meets a man, a kind of man in industry called William Rackham. And it's just so fun, funny. It is a proper romp. That is how I would describe it. And it's very long. It's about 800 pages long. I've read it as a book with my eyeballs, and I've listened to it as an audiobook with my ear holes. I just love it. It's a perfect story. Before anyone asks me, I have not watched the TV adaptation because I strongly, strongly disapprove of the casting of Chris O'Dowd in this project. So I will not watch it. Alice,
I feel like, do you remember that we used to somehow mention Silence of the Lambs in every single episode?
Yes.
For something like 18 months.
Yes.
It came up in every single one. I feel like The Crimson Petal and the White is your new Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. It's a benchmark. Yeah. I will never stop. I just love it so much. I love it. I love it. I cannot recommend it enough. And if you want a long book that will not feel long, and in fact, you will just wish didn't ever end, I cannot recommend that enough. What is your long book?
So for the second time, I've picked something which I haven't actually read yet, but that's because it is my personal pick that I'm going to be reading during Betwixtmas. So I've chosen this year, I've decided, you know, we're potentially looking at A Lonely Little Christmas in the UK. We don't know what the lockdown rules will look like. We don't know what tier we'll be on in England. We don't know whether we'll be allowed to visit our friends and family or not.
We don't know shit.
We don't know anything. So I'm preparing for the worst and preparing for a tight London lockdown, just in case, just so that I'm emotionally and mentally prepared for it. And I've picked out The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt as something which I'm going to read between, like, over my Christmas break. So it's 800 pages long. Donna Tartt is obviously legendary. But in my opinion, I've read two of her three books, and she's got a hit and a miss. The Secret History is my Crimson Petal and the White. It's one of my all-time favourite book. It's a real benchmark for me of plot, characterisation. Obviously, I could talk about it forever in terms of, like, it also has its problems, but, you know, whatever. I still think it's an absolute banger. Whereas The Little Friend was a total miss for me. I didn't enjoy that. I found it really dissatisfying. I've probably read The Secret History 3 or 4 times. I've only read The Little Friend once. I don't think I'll ever reread it. I've given away my copy long ago. So I've been kind of putting off The Goldfinch because at the moment it's kind of, you know, it exists as both to me. It is, it could be the perfect follow-up to The Secret History. It could be, you know, another absolute miss that I find really tedious.
Yeah, I would, to kind of manage your expectations, I firmly believe it is neither, and it sits right in the middle of the Venn diagram of those two books. It is in no way as good as The Secret History, but it is in no way as bad as The Little Friend.
Perfect. That's all I want, is the lukewarm porridge. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not expecting the perfect ride to take me through to New Year. I just want something that, basically, my dream position with reading is something which I just fall into entirely, that I completely disappear into. That's all I want. I just want something which is compelling enough that the 800 pages glides by.
Yeah,
I'm not expecting euphoria.
It's not perfect by any means, but it has enough kind of charming, fun, interesting elements that means that you're not annoyed about reading it. Whereas I think people who read The Little Friend could be justifiably annoyed that they read it.
Yeah, exactly. Although, especially with my experience of The Little Friend, as someone said to me, oh my God, you're just going to be so satisfied by how everything comes together at the end.
It doesn't come together.
At all.
That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. Like, I am shocked that somebody said that.
It's like, what a fucking stupid thing to say. It made me feel like I'd misunderstood it somehow.
No, you had not. It's absolutely garbage.
Anyway,
so those are our picks. I hope that you found something among those tomes that would please you for any of those purposes.
And if, as you were listening, you have not been jotting titles down, fear not, because I will post both of our lists on Instagram at whatpagepod. And I will also post a book list on our new WordPress site, which whatpagepod.wordpress.com. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's linked on our Twitter. It's linked on our Instagram. And there will also be a full transcript of this episode on that page as well, should you want to revisit the whole thing in blog form.
Wonderful. What a wonderful thing. Before we bounce out, I just wanted, now that we're kind of doing these weekly episodes, I have a thing to plug, which is on Tuesday, the 24th, so a few days from the date of this episode going out, Tuesday 24th of November at 7 p.m. on Instagram, I am celebrating the launch of a Dead Ink Press title called Cat Step by Alison Irvin. And I would love for you to join on the gram, my friends listening at home. Alice,
and
do you
what
have
time is that?
At 7 p.m. Tuesday, 24th of November. You got a little thing you'd like to talk about before we
yes,
go?
Yes, I do. I also have something to plug. At the moment, you can buy a copy of Outsiders, which is the book I edited for Three of Cups Press. It's 15 short stories on the theme of Outsiders. You can buy it for 40% off right now. So if you go to the Three of Cups Three of Cups Twitter account, which is at Three of Cups, there is a little discount code thing which gives you some money off. And may I suggest it could be a good Christmas present? I don't know. I'm biased, but it might be something worth thinking about.
I think it could. I was sent a copy of it. So when it came out, I went on Twitter and said, if anyone wants me to buy a copy for them, I'll buy a copy for them in lieu of buying one for myself. And if anyone who is listening to this pod would like a copy of Outsiders while it's 40% off, just send me a little DM and I'll buy it for you.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. Well, I've had a great time. I hope you've had a great time, Alice Slater.
I've had a wicked time.
People know where to find us on the internet. We don't need to tell them. Let's not tell them.
Yeah, it's fine. You'll find us. And please do feel free, as per, to reach out, send us emails, send us DMs. We love to hear from you.
Fan mail, hate mail, we're easy. It can go either way.
Yeah, whatever thoughts you have. But especially if there's anything you'd like to hear us discuss, just hit us up. We love ideas.
We love ideas.
Right.
Well, hopefully we'll see you this time next week. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.